Paul Molitor and Dennis Eckersley are the newest members of the Baseball Hall of Fame. Both were elected yesterday in their first year of eligibility. They'll be inducted at ceremonies in Cooperstown, New York in the summer. But commentator Frank DeFord notes that this week most fans are wondering whether Pete Rose will ever be allowed into the Hall of Fame.
Amazing, isn't it? This fervent interest still devoted to this one old ball player. Why, I would suggest that if you take all of the arguments about who belongs in all of the sports halls of fame in the world, more discussion involves Pete Rose than all the other candidates put together. And now, of course, Rose is finally admitting what everybody who's not in the Flat Earth Society already knows, that when he was a manager, he bet on baseball. Having properly propitiated, Rose may again be embraced by Holy Mother Baseball and then accepted into the warm folds of the shrine at Cooperstown. Or not. Either way, many true believers will be absolutely furious. Rose inspires such strong opposing feelings, I believe, because he so perfectly represents extremes. His divide is too stark, too much to bear. On the one hand, there is no question but that in his personal life he's a scoundrel of notorious demeanor that was almost bound to eventually locate him behind bars. On the other, in his uniform station, he was all that we could ever want our heroes to be, especially at a time when we're so disappointed in sports stars, finding them cold and greedy, distant and disloyal. Rose was an athletic paragon, playing every moment of every game to the hilt. He even ran to first base on walks. Remember that? The cool sophisticates mocked Rose, christening him Charlie Hustle. But he turned that sneer into a noble badge. It was not just that he loved the game he played so well. Just watching him, he made us love baseball more. Alas, in every phase of his life, his passion always bled into compulsion. The late Richie Ashburn was an announcer with the Phillies after his playing career ended. I'll never forget asking Richie about Rose after he'd spent his first year with the Phillies. "Yes, let me tell you about Pete Rose," Ashburn said. "If ever Pete took one drink at lunch, he would be an alcoholic by nightfall. It doesn't matter what. Baseball, gambling, women, Rose is the most obsessive man I've ever met." And in the end, of course, he was just as obsessive about sticking to a lie that was so terribly transparent. Ultimately, just as Rose's enthusiasm made those watching him more enthusiastic about baseball, so did his obstinacy make others just as stubborn about giving in to him. In the end, we are all, however we feel about him, just so angry at Rose. That's the crux. And invariably, it is the people who love baseball the most who are the most torn. If we support Rose's claim to the Hall of Fame, we're furious that he tarnished his brilliant soul by malfeasance and deceit. Yet if we find him unbearable and unworthy, maybe it pains us more because we know that it is precisely this curious, flawed creature who, better than anyone who ever played the game of baseball, played it as we idolize it, played it as we wish that everyone did. No one can meet Pete Rose halfway, just as he never met life.
The comments of Frank DeFord, senior contributing writer at Sports Illustrated. He joins us each Wednesday from member station WSHU in Fairfield, Connecticut.